Through the example of Father Capon, we are given a model of how to be hope to a hopeless world, to be light to a dark world, to be so filled with joy that people desire to be around us. There's an urgency in the world right now. I want to enter the mission territory. In fact, the Lord has called all of us into this battle for souls. He's not given anybody a pass on that. Welcome to the Foxhole.
Good morning, everyone. This is Jason Searle. On behalf of Capon's Men, we thank you for joining us in the Foxhole on the memorial of St. Jerome, a priest and doctor of the Church. Our men's faith formation groups follow the example of servant of God, Father Emil Capon, a priest from Kansas who lived the gospel in its simple daily life, all the way through his heroic actions on the battlefields and in the prisoner of war camp in Korea, where he eventually died at the hands of his captors. Although Father Capon was ordered to safety during the Battle of Vincennes, his response to accompany his men during the battle that ensued and their subsequent capture and internment resulted in Father Capon becoming the most highly decorated chaplain in United States Army history. The Foxhole's been honored to host guests who are making a difference in their communities, families, and their faith circles, and we explore how they, just like Father Capon, are doing their simple things in very extraordinary ways. This week, we're honored to have a great friend to all of us at Capon's Men, Nick Delasega, who has the distinction of being one of Father Capon's miracles. Nick is joining us from his home in Pittsburgh, Kansas, where he and his fellow parishioners all came together years ago to form the first Capon's Men group. Professionally, Nick has always been an entrepreneur. He's held various roles in accounting, consulting, and the energy industries before moving back home to Kansas to help grow and run a family business. He's been instrumental in the production of our video series, especially our pilgrimage series, and it should be noted that under Nick's leadership, our annual retreat has grown continuously over the last 5 years. Nick and his entire family have a tremendous devotion to Father Capon, and we're about to hear why as Nick tells a story from almost 10 years ago that is as frightening as it is a blessing. I want to remind everyone that you can find all our work at caponsmen.com. And for this podcast, the weekly listens continue to grow. So thank you for your continued efforts to share this message of Father Capon and how he continues to inspire all of us today. Joe Ferris is going to lead us with a prayer. And with this, it's an honor to introduce and welcome Nick and Joe. Good morning, brothers, and thanks for joining us in the Foxhole.
Good morning, Jason. Good morning, my friend. Good morning. Thank you for that introduction. And we have got a huge opportunity to hear some great encouragement today. And just to come together as men. And I think one of the beauties of days like today and get me most excited is we just get to hear stories of great things that God is doing. So I just want to pray. I'd like our prayer today, before we even pray, just think of somebody, some situation. Maybe it's a job. Maybe it's a family member who's sick. Maybe it's just some fear of some things. Just call that to mind for a second. You know, the psalm response today says, "Let my prayer come before you, Lord. Let my prayer come before you, Lord." And today we're going to hear what happens when we pray big things. And sometimes in our faith, we can kind of get trapped in small prayers because we're fearful or uncomfortable those prayers won't be heard. But today is a day where we celebrate the fact that God does big things. So in your heart, just call to mind somebody or some situation. And maybe you're like, "Joe, there's no way I could pray for that. It's too big. It's too scary. It's too crazy." And that's the one I'm telling you to pray for today. So in the name of the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, amen. Come, Holy Spirit. God, you are a God of big dreams. You are a God of miracles. And I just pray, God, that on this day, the Feast of St. Jerome, that you hear the prayers of that man on this call who has given up on something because he was just afraid it was too big for you. God, I pray for the person who has a family member or somebody they love who's struggling, who's sick, who's anxious or in despair. And I just pray, God, that you hear the purity of our intentions. You see the purity of our hearts. And that you, today, God, we bring to you those people and those situations, God. Because you said, "Let my prayer come before you." So we bring all these prayers to you, Lord. And we ask you, through your will, if it be your will, to hear those prayers and to answer those prayers. I ask you, God, just to stay close to us today and to help us as we open up more about the great things that you've done. Glory be to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Jason, great introduction. We have a good friend of Capon's Men and a good friend of mine on the podcast, Nick Delasega. Nick, welcome. It's good to have you. And that introduction of Jason, I think he could have gone on for 10 more minutes of all the cool things and great things you've been a part of. But I want to jump right in and ask you, for the sake of the listeners who don't know you, to just break open a tad bit more about your introduction, because I know you have a strong faith, and it's always been an encouragement to me. So welcome, and then share a little bit of an introduction to us, a little more of an introduction, Nick.
Sure thing. Thanks, Joe, and also thanks, Jason. It's awesome to be on this morning. A little more about myself. I grew up in Pittsburgh, Kansas. It's in the southeast corner of Kansas in the Diocese of Wichita. And grew up, I have a ton of blessings in my life. Went to Catholic grade school, Catholic high school. Went on to college and played football at Pittsburgh State in Pittsburgh. And, very normal. Our family was always Catholic. All the way down, my grandparents and cousins. The parish here and the church here is very alive, and was very blessed to get to be a part of that growing up. So it was something that as a kid, this is what we did. We were Catholic. We had our family traditions, and we still do, going to Mass on Sunday, and also sometimes during the week with my parents. When I was younger, I was kind of par for the course, and it's just what I did. But we're going to get into it here, but I think it really became real and alive in a different way about 10 years ago. So I guess I have three siblings. They all are close to the faith, a sister in Denver, a brother and a sister here. My mom and dad are also here in town. And so, yeah, just super blessed to be a part of a great community here in Kansas.
Now, look, Nick, for the people looking this up on the map, there is no H on that Pittsburgh, correct?
That is correct. That is correct.
We don't want anybody missing that. And
no,
I think
you're right on.
Pitt State is one of two schools in the United States that's the Gorillas. Am I right on that, too?
You know, I've always thought we were the only one, actually, the only one at least in NCAA. So, yeah, our mascot is the Gorillas. It's pretty cool to be in other parts of the country traveling or whatever, and you'll see a Gorilla license plate and Pitt State logo. We've had some good football teams here and some people that are, have been in the NFL and different stuff like that. And so, yeah, it's a good place to be, a lot of tradition.
Amen to that. Well, I know everybody on the call. I could talk Pittsburgh history with you the rest of the day, but I know a lot of people want to hear your miracle is in the Vatican, and I know it's a big part of the Father Capon story. So how about just break open for us some of just what Father Capon means to you and exactly how you connect to the story?
Yeah, absolutely. So in our diocese here, Father Capon has been known and talked about for a long time. And his cause for canonization started gaining some momentum and speed in the early 2000s. And so, as a person engaged in around our parish, we've known kind of about him, but it was still a story, and he did a lot of really awesome stuff. In 2011, I was home for Mother's Day weekend and was running in a 5K road race. I'd played sports growing up, up until this point, I'd never had any health issues to speak of, and certainly nothing with my heart or anything like that. And so showed up, 5Ks, 3 miles, a little more than 3 miles, and thought, gosh, this is going to be no problem. Had a good day planned after that. Anyway, race started. I felt great. It was in early spring, so it was beautiful outside, kind of get going. And about a mile into the race, I don't remember anything after that point. I ran for another couple miles, got close to the finish line, and collapsed. It was at that point where I have a couple cousins that were running with me. One of them was right behind me, and he saw that I collapsed and ran ahead to get help. And my uncle Mark, who was in town, he lives in North Carolina, he's a doctor, but he was in town for the weekend, and he was actually at the finish line taking some pictures. So he ran across the field to me, and he tells the story better than I do, but he just talks about how when he saw me, he knew that there was something different about this, and there was it was pretty serious. And so he started to get people away and kind of take control of the situation, and started administering CPR and called for somebody to call an ambulance to get a defibrillator, and just kind of went through all the protocols that you do in a situation like this. So in that time, we estimate that I was out for probably around 9 minutes, and he was doing CPR. Somebody came with a defibrillator. A lot of times in public places, like this was close to a school, you see the defibrillators on the wall. Somebody got one of those. They shocked me, and nothing. My heart didn't start. And then in that moment, the ambulance came and put me into the ambulance, and they didn't know what to do. The EMTs, actually, the guys that were in the ambulance were both friends of mine. Again, you know, kind of a small town and everybody knows everybody, but the two EMTs that were in the ambulance, I've since talked to, and they were able to kind of shed a little more light of what was going on. But one of them, named Micah Ealing, who's involved with Capen's Men now, and he's a part of our local group, he has shared his side of the story, and I was in the ambulance. He starts kind of, again, doing all the checklist things that you do. So going and giving me CPR, and he talks about it like he gets to the end and I'm still not there. And so he didn't know what to do at that point. Meanwhile, outside of the ambulance, people had gathered around, and in particular, another cousin, Jonah, was coming up, and by the time Jonah got to where I was, there wasn't really anything physically, you know, that he could do, because there was a bunch of people around, and Mark had taken control of the situation. And so Jonah knelt down and prayed to Father Capen, prayed for the intercession of Father Capen. And time-wise, his prayers and me being on the ambulance sync up, and while Jonah was praying, Micah also tells his side of the story. He gets to the end of what he knows that he should be doing, and he just screams out, "God, what am I missing?" And in that instance, my heart started. There was a heartbeat, and it's really inexplicable. There wasn't any rhyme or reason at that point in time. They weren't doing anything to try to revive me, and after that, Micah talks about how he asked the questions of, "Do you know where you are?" And I did. And he says, "Do you know who I am?" And I was able to recognize him. And at that point, they kind of knew, all right, this is looking up. So my cousin Jonah was running. He had learned about the story of Father Capen and our family. We had developed a devotion to him. And at the time, Jonah was in eighth grade. I mean, honestly, when we talk about it amongst our family, Mark will say, Jonah's the real hero here. He's the one that knelt down and prayed, and definitely to think he was in junior high and to do this, such a cool, you know, thing for him to do, and absolutely very blessed and grateful that he was there. They took me to the hospital. At that point, I was still, you know, coming out of it and in a bit of shock. I don't really remember probably about 2 hours of time in there from when it happened till when I was coming back and coherent. But after that, I was up and the rest of the day talking to people like nothing happened, and actually was able to leave the hospital the very next day, which for something like this to happen when you're out for 10 minutes was very, I think, very uncommon. Last thing, kind of there's a lot more to it, but in it, they shocked me, and The defibrillators now, I mean, they're very, very, they're amazing tools and technology and everything. But in the defibrillator, there's a printout that you can print out and look at what your heart was doing when they applied the device to my chest, and then it shows kind of my heart rhythm and then the shock. And after the shock happened, there wasn't anything. And normally I'm told that if you get shocked, it's either, you know, kind of good, obviously good, and your heart starts, or not. And in my case, it didn't. So the defibrillation didn't help. But it does show, what was going on with my heart. And at this point in time, I think kind of helps to prove the miraculousness. There's a lot more to the story. You can Google Father Cape and Miracles and my name and kind of read all the details about it. But, lots of neat, things that happened on that day, and a lot of people that were at the race that I've talked to that have kind of shared their side of the story of what they saw. And that is always really, really special to me. So yeah, just very grateful to be here. Also, like, I think there's miracles that happen all the time. And I think that in my mind, in my life, like, recognition of those miracles, I'm not always really, really great at maybe recognizing what God has done for me or the gifts that God put in my life. But this one was made a lot of things real and definitely made that recognition of, wow, at any point in time, this could all be over. And God willed me and he willed my life. And gosh, after that, there's kind of been this sense of like, I've got a second chance.
Now that, every time I hear you tell that story, Nick, I just get more and more fired up. It's so powerful, the intercession of Father Capon. And I'd say to anybody who's on this call or on the podcast, when we began the podcast, we said pray for something big, like pray for something great. And I would just invite you to be prompted right now, maybe even to just hit pause and to ask Father Capon to intercede for you. Ask him to pray for you as well. Because his intercession is powerful, powerful stuff. Nick, a lot of folks don't have the kind of miracle happen in their life that you had. And I've known you for the last almost 10 years, if not more. What for you from that moment, right? 9 minutes, no heartbeat, this incredibly crazy story that has now been supported by medical evidence as well. Like, how have you personally grown, maybe with Father Capon, and just in general, from that day to today?
Yeah. I think number one thing is for my family. And like I said before, we did all the right stuff. I mean, I feel like I grew up in a part of a very strong Catholic household with parents that were, you know, devout, and we did all this stuff. But I also think that at this point it was a pivot, like a turning point of, oh my gosh, our faith and this is such a gift. And it's so much bigger than I think we even realized and maybe even gave it credit for. And the fact that it all can go, I mean, in my life, like any of our lives can end and that we are all going to die. I think that made us as a family come together. And then also kind of look in the mirror and adjust a little bit. And you know, the Catholic Church, I think sometimes in the world we get a bad rap and people say it's boring or this or that. But, oh, my gosh, it couldn't be more false. It really, I think, came alive for our family, and the treasure of it and the gift of it is something that I know in our own conversations we have come to appreciate much more than before this happened. The thought that, for me at least, that, like, I don't think a lot of 20, I was 26 at the time, I don't think a lot of 26-year-olds get to have an experience where they're sort of faced with death. Now, for me, like, it was a two-hour thing before I was fine, and then 2 hours later, I'm back to being fine. So it wasn't like a long, drawn-out deal. But I do think that in my own life, in my own reflection, when I go to, my grandma passed away in May, and going to her funeral or any funerals, it's like the end of a life is something that is very powerful, and she lived an amazing life. But the thought that I'm going to die at some point, and I know we all say that, that thought kind of resonated at 26, and since then has been something that I've pondered about and thought about, and I really want to make sure that I'm living consistent with how I want to die. And so since then, I've examined kind of where I am and where I want to get to be, and that drives little changes to be able to, you know, ask yourself, am I doing, am I encountering people the way that I should be? Am I being grateful for all the gifts that I have? Because I certainly have a lot of gifts. The other thing about this whole deal is the amount of people that were there for me through it all. It was amazing. The number of prayers and the number of people that were at my side. And I really felt right after this happened, there was quite a bit of uncertainty, into my health. Like, is my heart going to be okay? Am I going to, you know, continue? What's wrong? And through all of that, and ever since, I just have come to realize how many good friends and good people are in my life and my family. And so, you know, I've really seen God, I think, through all of their witnesses. And then the last piece of this is, it's really made me understand, or try to understand, Father Capon and his life and the man that he was. I mean, at the end of the day, I believe and I know that he did intercede for me on that day. And then you start to kind of ask, like, who was this guy? And I've talked to people that knew him, and I've been to places that he was, and he was such an amazing man and such a cool person. And the way that he encountered everybody that he was around, and the courage that he showed in his life, is something to strive for. And so I guess to kind of sum it up, if I'm thinking of three things, like, I am going to die, and I want to live consistent with how I want to die. The number of people that have been around, and my friends, and, you know, people that have helped me along the way, hopefully, you know, they know how big of a deal it has been for me to have them in my life. And then also Father Capon's life, and just striving to be like him and emulate him, and not just him, but all the saints, normal people that do extraordinary things. And I realized, like, that is achievable. And that's what I want. That's the goal.
Now that, Nick, that's beautiful, powerful stuff. And I think one of the interesting things is, when God does these things, one of the first things I look for is the fruit of it. And you, to move from your experience personally of the intercession of Father Capon into the fruit of that, is that you've become very involved, as Jason said, in Capon's Men. And I just would love for you to reflect a second kind of on what Capon's Men has meant to you. And then I know you've also been out quite a bit in some other states and starting Capon's Men's groups. Can you just share a little bit of that? And why you still stay involved in that, for the men that are listening?
Definitely. So Capon's Men was born here in my local parish, and it was a group of guys. I think what happened to me, my dad was very, very involved in the starting of it, and basically, like, the event that happened to me sort of caused a response of, boy, we've got a gift, and how are we going to share and spread this gift? And guys here were on fire, and we knew we needed to be able to be together. And actually, the podcast and the name here is The Foxhole, but I would say we've kind of felt like, I think, as guys, we're in a bit of a foxhole. And all the time, I mean, the world tells you one thing, and we know that we need to be different. And so as a group, there was a recognition of that here locally, and the group of guys got started. And then, like most things that I feel like really go, or really anything that really goes, God has just kept removing the barriers. It's like, all right, what are we gonna do? And then the answer, it just happens when we pray about it. And the next barrier gets removed, and the next barrier gets removed. And all of a sudden, Jason has gotten involved, Scott is involved. All of these great men have been introduced and are a big part of my life and my journey now. Then I was living in Wichita, was a part of Capen's Men Group, and then I moved to Atlanta and have a group of friends that were out there and actually was looking to grow in faith and meet other guys, and Capen's Men was the perfect way to be able to kind of form a group. I invited people to come, and we watched the Virtue Series. Was the first introduction that they'd ever had to the life of Father Capen, and guys are some of my best friends, and it's just an awesome way to bond. The beauty of what I think we're doing here is that it's very simple to get started. It's very easy to go, and then the fruit of the conversations we were able to have after that, after all of the after each of the sessions, was such a treasure. And so those guys in Atlanta are still out there, and some of my best friends, and they moved back home and have been involved with the local Capen's Men group here. And I think just the fact of men and needing each other and kind of sharing the faith with each other is gonna make us stronger, and knowing we have each other's back is gonna make the journey a little bit easier. I'm just very grateful to have that.
So Nick, for the man that's listening, last piece here, I know we have about a minute left. I'd love for you, as a board member, you're very involved, as we just said, at a lot of different levels with Capen's Men and with Father Capen. What is something somebody can start today or jump in on today that can connect them to either the intercession of Father Capen or to a Capen's Men group? What's the suggestion you might give to somebody on the call or on the podcast?
Absolutely. So the biggest thing I would say is, if you're interested, don't be afraid and just get started. And the way to do that is, Scott Carter is in charge. He's going to be on the call here in a second. He is readily available and is awesome and can help provide support. And if you want to get a hold of any of the other guys that are involved, we have learned a lot. We've been able to get other groups off the ground. Go to the website. The website is awesome, and you can kind of learn more about the group. Go to the website, reach out, and then just start. I think that sometimes for me, the barrier for me to get going is trying to make it a bigger deal than it is. And so I think find a few other guys that want to join, or talk to your local parish and get going. The resources are out there on the website. Scott can help you out. And then last thing is, we are also on form.org. All the materials are on Formed. You can log in. A lot of parishes have it. And if you don't, call us and we'll get you hooked up. You can log in and watch our content and material for free and share with your friends.
Those are all good suggestions. Nick, as we always do at this point in the podcast, we ask our guests to pray us out, and then Scott will come in on the backside and kind of close it up. But you know I love you. You know I love your family. I love your story. I love to just see what God does when he moves in people's lives, and in this case, the intercession of Father Capen. So thank you. Thanks for sharing your story again, and pray us out of here, and Scott will come in on the backside and kind of close it up.
Yeah, absolutely. So part of moving back home, I'm getting to work with my brother and my dad, and they're both part of the Capen's Men group here. But this is a prayer that my brother has he wrote. I think he stole part of a couple other prayers and kind of put them together, but it's become one that we've prayed when it comes to business stuff, and just kind of a good reminder. So I'm just going to read this. So here we go. Gracious God, thank you for the gift of today. Refresh me, invite me to discover your presence in each person that I meet and every event that I encounter. Teach me when to speak and when to listen, when to ponder and when to share. In moments of challenge and decision, attune my heart to the whisperings of your wisdom. As I undertake ordinary and unnoticed tasks, gift me with simple joy. When my day goes well, may I rejoice. When it grows difficult, surprise me with new possibilities. When life is overwhelming, call me to Sabbath moments to restore your peace and harmony. May my living today reveal your goodness. Amen.
Thanks a ton, Nick. I've heard your story several times, but it's always striking to hear, you know, just that evidence that Father Capon is in heaven and working, and obviously how powerfully God can work in our lives. I know most of the time he doesn't always intervene with those miracles that, you know, kind of defy explanation, but sometimes he does. And I can say, you know, in this case, obviously it's been a blessing not only for you and your family, but for the rest of us who know you and have been involved with Capon's Men. So thanks for coming on and sharing. I do want to give a little update on, you know, just how the miracle fits into to Father Capon's cause over in the Vatican, because a lot of people ask about that. So right now at the moment, we're still awaiting the Congregation for Saints to finish reviewing Father Capon's life. And if they deem that he lived a life of heroic virtue, then they'll name him venerable. And then after that is when they start to review some of the potential miracles that, you know, we believe he worked through in heaven on behalf of people. And at that point, he can be beatified. So we've got several over there, and it all helps, I think, to, you know, encourage them to say, hey, this is someone that we should review his life. You know, obviously nothing official yet, but we certainly believe, like you said, that Father Capon worked in your life, and how cool it is, and just a blessing to hear that. It's a blessing to hear you tell that in person. So thanks for that. For the challenge this week, I cheated a little bit and talked to Nick yesterday about it. And he had mentioned, you know, the impact that Father Capon had on his life, and that he was a man who made a big impact on the lives of all the men that he served. And oftentimes we can think of saints as sort of like these huge figures in our mind, but in reality, the saints are just like you and me. And Father Capon was just a regular man. So if he had such a big impact on others, we can too. And I think that's something that we probably need to remember at a time when our nation is pretty divided, and things can get on our nerves, or, you know, we don't see eye to eye on many things. The challenge is, like Father Capon did, to treat each person you came across as if they were a saint, or if they were in Nick's position. What would you do? You know, and imagine the difference of your attitude, your willingness to help them out, to pray for them, to be kind, to forgive. You know, that applies to the people maybe in your family, your coworkers, and even the people who disagree with us politically. So, and Father Capon showed by his life that even our enemies bear the stamp of the divine image. And so hopefully he will help us in our challenge of treating other people like saints as well this week. Next week for our guest, we will be, we're excited to welcome Tyler Blansky to the Foxhole. Tyler is a published poet, songwriter, and an author, and he's the founder of Fight for Milk, which is an online resource that helps fathers succeed in their vocations at work and at home. Obviously, fatherhood has never been more important than it is today, so we hope you're excited to tune in to Joe's chat with Tyler next week. Until then, like Father Capon, stay humble, stay courageous, and treat one another as saints.
Thanks for joining us in the Foxhole. As we go, we're blessed to leave you with these words from Father Capon himself.
We can surely expect that in our own lives there will come a time when we must make a choice between being loyal to the true faith or of giving allegiance to something else which is either opposed to or not in alliance with our faith. O God, we ask of Thee to give us the courage to be ever faithful to Thee. Blessed are they who suffer persecution for justice' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. May the blessing of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit descend upon all of you. Amen.